safe in an unsafe world. Do you realize that if you listen to the news locally, nationally, and globally, this world we live in is a pretty unsafe place. Oh, nobody recognizes that? Am I the only one that recognizes that? Any of y'all recognize that? You know, one source said, in an increasingly unsafe world, people are seeking safety and security. Armies are facing one another. There's radical ideologies. And, you know, all kinds of things are going on. You know, physical safety is threatened sometimes. You know, sometimes just getting in the car and driving down the street. I claim 91st Psalm all the time because you don't ever know what's going to happen. Hello? Now, you know, I don't know how many, somebody said as billions of dollars were spent yearly. I don't know how many, but for home security systems and various different items, protection items, armed personnel, locked gates and fences. And that's good. We should do everything in the natural that we know to do for safety's sake. But we shouldn't be surprised at the world and its condition. Because Jesus himself told us how it would be in the last days in Matthew 24, 4 through 8. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and you see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things is the beginning of sorrows. Here Jesus is describing in this verse what is the beginning of the end, I call it. If you read Revelation, you know that we are coming into the situation, what we call the tribulation. Now, I don't know what your theories are. I can argue all three theories with you because I've studied it, and I studied in school, and I've studied it before. I've talked with my dad and my father-in-law about this. In fact, my dad, and Lynette, I'll tell you this, my dad and my father-in-law used to get together and talk about the end times, and one would take this side this time, and the next time the other would take this side, and they all three come to the conclusion that you got enough for either mid or the beginning. Now, we won't be here toward the end stuff, but I tend to think that it will be here for the first part because the Word of God says that it's not too bad at the first part, sort of like it is today. I told somebody today, I wonder if we're not in the beginning of the first part of it. Have I got any takers on that? Oh, I got a lot of people. You know, somebody said, well, you're talking doom and gloom. No, I'm just talking about what the Bible says. I'm talking about what, and we can be safe in an unsafe world. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not talking about any one incident that's happened, and there's been a lot of them, and they're atrocious, and they're horrible. But my remarks is today is so that we can prepare ourselves in the best way possible to stay safe as we follow God. Some people do everything in the natural to stay safe and neglect the spiritual side. And some people do everything on the spiritual side and do nothing in the natural side. And, I want us to realize that there is both natural and spiritual things that we can do to maintain our safety in the world as we as we see the last days approaching. You know, in these last days, it said there will be danger, but God's word is still true. That's what it comes, it all comes back to how much you really believe what the word of God says. Come on now. And 2 Timothy 3, 1, Paul writing to Timothy says, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Anybody seen any perilous times? The J.B. Phillips version says, but you must realize that in the last days, the times will be filled with danger. You know, in view of the world conditions today and the attack on Christians and churches, even in this nation, but especially in some of the other nations, and just speaking of that, we need to pray for our Christian brothers in Afghanistan. It's really bad, okay? Let me go on. The question we got to ask ourselves, can we really trust God in this time? Are God's promises sufficient in times of trouble and danger? And I would certainly say yes. The Bible says that he has promised to protect us and keep us. And all I got to go do is read the history of his children in the Old Testament, and we're his children in the New Testament. If he could take care and keep his children in the Old Testament, I believe he can do the same thing today. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Come on now. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Oh, that's important right there. That in me, that's Jesus talking. In me you might have peace. Our peace is in it. You might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus promised us peace. And he went on in Psalms 119, 165, said, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Jesus said that we should be happy and joyful as we rest in him and realize that our safety is based upon what God said in this word, not on what we see, feel, hear, or anything else. Now, these are real realities. I'm not discrediting them. They are real realities, but I don't have to fear because I believe what God said. I believe God will protect. I believe God will take care. Now, you know, a lot of people will say amen, but when push comes to shove, where are they going to be? When your back's against the wall, and you don't see no way out, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Just like that, you've heard that story. I was sliding in my motorcycle, and I was in the army over in Taiwan. I was sliding toward a drop-off, 1,000-foot drop-off. I didn't have time to call no prayer meeting. I didn't have time to read 45 chapters. All I had time to do is holler Jesus 3 times. And I'm still here today, and you could see where that wheel slid right to the edge, and then one of the guys said, man, you're lucky that the knobs on the side of the tire stowed you back up. And I said, hey, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I said, God reached down and thought, because I definitely remember hitting the pavement right in the middle and hearing the back tire squeal as it hit the ground. And run up on the grass and come back and sit down. And man, I'll sit there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But you see, that call for safety. See, we need to realize when we need safety, I don't care what it is, we can call on the name of Jesus. Yeah, you know, had Jesus defeated the devil at Calvary, Jesus defeated him, all of his evil forces. And the word of God says he made a show of them openly. So what The psalm says, what have I to fear? Come on. Anybody with me today? You know, the early church triumphed. And we, the latter church, can triumph. Acts 28 is not the end of the Acts. The first 28 chapters is the Acts of the first church. We are still writing the book of Acts. We are the church that's still writing the book of Acts until he comes back and takes us out of here. And it looks to me like, if I read the Bible right, it looks like we're getting pretty close, closer than we've ever been. Hello. You see, God's promise to keep us safe if. You say, what do you mean? Well, have you ever noticed that as you read the Word of God, there is a lot of conditions. If you will do this, then God will be here. If you do this, then God will. Excuse me. Anybody ever notice that? Look, you know, Leviticus 25, 18, 19, he's speaking to the children of Israel. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you dwell in the land safely. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you'll eat your fill and dwell there in safety. The Hebrew word for safety here means place of refuge, safety, security, and trust. As long as the Israelites observed his statutes and performed them, it said they dwelled in the land safely. I see that if we today are going to dwell safely, then we have got to do what the Word of God tells us to do. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Do you realize that when we come together and we worship together, that we draw strength from one another and we don't even realize it? Come on now. When they wholly followed God, everything was fine. But have you ever read their history? That's what part of the Old Testament is, the history of Israel. And Paul says what happened to them happened as examples for us in his writings. So what is an example? An example is to tell you what not to do. Look at this. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. God promised to protect those that dwell closely with him. Psalms 91, 1 through 4. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and we might say with his strong arms. He will shelter you under his wing, his arms. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. When I read that verse number 4, and of course most of you have never seen this, but even whenever we were, Dad was pastoring down in Van, Texas. That's where I started school, first, second, third grade. And we had a chicken yard out behind the parsonage, and some of the farmers had brought us and give us some chickens. And I'd already seen this as a kid at my grandpa's farmhouse. But if there's danger, that old hen, and there may be two or three hens with different chicks, but each hen starts clucking, and the chicks run to their mom. They don't run to the other one. They run to their mom. They hold up their wings. All the little chicks go under them, and then they just sit down and hold them. Anybody ever seen that? Yeah, see, for you that hasn't, the Bible said, let him be ignorant still. No, it's just that. And nowadays we don't see that as much because we don't live in those situations. Of course, I guess if you live in the farm country, you've probably seen it several times. But that's what I think about when I see this is, hey, the Lord is there with his outstretched arms, and whenever we need safety, we just call Jesus, and there we are in the protection. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, safety is promised to us when we put our trust in God. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare or brings fear, but whoever trusts the Lord shall be safe. Trust. You know, trust is something that you have, it's something that you do all the time, and so you need to trust God the same way. Many of you will go get in a car and you'll start driving down that street out there, and you will think nothing about it when you take your foot off of the accelerator and push on the brake because you trust those brakes to work. Am I right or wrong? Every one of you trusted that seat to hold you up. You didn't check it. If you didn't trust it, you would have checked it before you ever sat down to make sure it's going to hold you. But you trusted that pew is going to hold you up, and you sat down without even thinking about it. That's the kind of trust that we have got to get in this word right here, the word of God, that we, whatever comes, whatever happens, hey, we trust God. We don't even think about anything else. Come on. Man, you're preaching good, Pastor. Go ahead. I believe I will. Thank you. You know, throughout the New Testament, we find numerous times where God helped people to be safe and protected. If God did it there, he will do it now. If you'll study history, you'll find out that when the Jewish people were living underneath the Roman rule, the Roman government, and the wicked Jewish leaders and idol worshipers, the Christians were harassed continually. And Paul, Saul as he was called then, had killed many Christians. In fact, when he was converted on the road to Damascus, he was on his way with papers in his hand to take the Christian church out. If you'll study, you'll find out Paul, or Saul as he was called then, before his name was changed, he was the one that was holding the coats and, what we say, encouraging the people to throw stones that stoned Stephen. Come on now. You see, Paul was let down in a basket in Acts 9:25 so he could live to preach again. That was the protection, safety. They realized that, hey, we got to do something. Here, they're fixing to take his life. Then Peter was delivered from prison as the church prayed. You know that story. Then you know, numerous times, the Apostle Paul writes about it. In the Acts, there where he is doing all of his missionary journeys, you can read many, many times of how he was protected and kept safe. I believe that if we will believe what God says and believe what the word says, that the world conditions, whatever they are, whatever the crisis is, our faith in God will see us through and we will be safe. Now, you can believe it or you don't have to believe it. Somebody might say to me, hey, you're a little simple. Hey, maybe I might be simple, but leave me alone because I'm going to be here and you're not. I'm going to be safe. You know, now's not the time to wallow wishy-washy about the promises of God. Now is the time to either be bold and stand for the truth of God's word or get taken advantage of by the enemy. You know, many people are saying, well, we need to redefine what we believe. No, we don't need to redefine what we believe. We need to be more bold and expressing what we really believe. If you start to redefine your faith, then you're saying, I don't really believe what the Bible said. Come on now. This is not a time to draw back. This is a time to strengthen our faith. This is a time to reaffirm what we believe concerning the promises of God about His protection and what He has said in the Word. I mean, I got it from my dad and I say it all the time. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. He had it written in the flyleaf of His Bible. I've heard Him say it all my life. I heard Him say it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Come on. The promises of God are just as powerful today as they were in Bible days. They've not changed. We must stand firm upon the unchanging, everlasting, indestructible Word of God. Now, that does not mean, see, when you say that, many people go off over here in the ditch on this side. That doesn't mean that we ignore the natural and the things that we need to do in the natural. Along with putting your trust in God, you keep your doors and windows locked. Along with putting your trust in God, lock your car when you leave. Come on now. But you see, some people get way off there. Well, I'm trusting God. Don't lock her car. Then everything gets stolen out of it. Or the car itself gets stolen. Well, I don't know why God let that happen. He let it happen because you were dumb. Or maybe, as Craig said in his book, don't be stupid. Come on now. Have you ever seen people that take the promises of God and go off over here and go plumb out into, I don't know where they go, middle of nowhere? See, hey, hang on to the promises of God, but just don't go to a dangerous place and put yourself in that position unless you have to or some reason you're there. Just don't go there. When I was a youth pastor, I used to tell the youth, I said, hey, if you don't want to get in trouble, just don't go where it's going to happen. Hey, I trust the promises of God, but I also have a security system on my house. And I also have a little something in that drawer beside of my bed. I'm Army trained. I know how to use it. The problem I'm concerned about is a lot of these people that are not really trained properly. Come on. One of the first things that you need to learn is if you're going to pull a weapon, you better be willing to shoot it. And secondly, if there's people in the way, you can't fire. It's one thing you're taught in the Army. Come on now. I see Greg over here shaking his head. He's a retired Marine. He knows what I'm talking about. And I see some of these other guys shaking their heads. Hey, come on. You know, believe what God says, but be careful when you go out at night, especially in some areas by yourself. You know, it don't hurt to know a little bit of self-defense. It don't hurt to have some pepper spray or some mace or something. Hey, these are all natural things, and they're good, and you need to know how to do these. But let me tell you what, along with this, you need to take a hold of the supernatural power of God. And it's just, you know, my saying, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. Come on now. Anybody get anything out of this? There are many things we can do in the natural to be safer and protect ourselves. But this by no means is the stopping point. That's only on the natural side. Now we've got another side that nobody else has the privilege of. Hey, we are privileged as God's children. We are a privileged bunch. Come on. You know, we should do, like I said before, everything that we can in the natural, but then tap in to the supernatural power of God. Now, I want to look at real quickly, because it's already, 11:20? So 11:21, and I'm supposed to be through almost, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. I want to look at some actions that we can take to activate the power of God in an unsafe world. Live close to the Lord at all times. Don't allow anything to pull you away. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, purify your hearts, and don't be double-minded. That double-minded mean is don't think this way today and this way tomorrow. Today you're spiritual, tomorrow you're thinking natural. Hey, use both of them together. Do you realize that a train runs on two tracks and it cannot run on one track? Do you realize that we are a human being living in a natural world, but we're also a spiritual being living in a spiritual world? That's two tracks. It takes both of them working together to get you to your destination. Come on. Yeah, I just read Psalm 91. It tells us to live in the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, what's that mean? Live conscious of the greater one. It should be in your thoughts and your attitudes and your desires and your words and your action at all times. That's what that means. That's what it means, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what it means. Was anybody out in the hot sun this past week? Anybody ever noticed that if you could go over and get it into the shadow out of the sunlight, that the temperature changed? Anybody notice that? Why? Because you're in the shadow that's taking the sunlight away from you, allowing it to cool down. Hey, it says dwell in the shadow. Stay there all the time. My dad used to say some people, they get out and run ahead of God. He said it's better to stay two steps behind God than it is to be 10 steps in front of him. Some of you probably heard him say that. Come on now. Hey, now, be diligent and pray for the leaders of the nation and pray for the nation. It says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, therefore I exalt you first of all, that supplication, prayer, and intercession, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, or that be presidents, and that be mayors, that be governors, and all who have authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. Why is it important to pray for our leaders, whether we agree with them or not, our nation? It says here, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence, in safety. Do you realize, if you read the Old Testament, that God turned wicked kings' ideas and changed them? The king of Babylon allowed them to go back. And when he said they wouldn't. See, we need to realize that when we pray for our nation, something happens. But too many people are on Facebook griping rather than praying. If you ever look at mine, I hardly ever put anything on Facebook. All I do is go wish people happy birthdays and just see if somebody puts something on my page that I don't want, and I take it off. You'd be surprised how many people try to put something on my page on Facebook because they know that I got 5,000 friends, and they know all these people are going to see it. So, I'm going to take it off. Come on now. I don't care who it is. If I don't like what they said, I don't have to have it. But let me tell you something. We need to pray. We need to make it a priority to pray for our country and our leaders. We need to make it a priority. In Broken Arrow, we have a great mayor. In Oklahoma, we have a great governor. I know the man personally. I've talked to him. I know him. And in fact, he's asked me to pray for him before, and I do. But we need to pray. He's trying to make decisions that will keep us as safe as possible without requiring us to do things that we don't want to do, but it infringes on our personal ideas, our personal thing. Do you realize we're free people and we should be able to choose what we want to do and what we... I watched it happen, and I grew up with it in the 40s. I watched it right after World War II. I watched Eastern Europe be taken over, just like we're doing it today, telling us we got to do this, we got to do that, so forth and so on. But hey, I'm going to pray for them anyway, and I believe that things can change. But I'm going to stay with the Word of God no matter what anybody says. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like what you're saying. That's fine. You can like it or leave it. I don't care. Come on. I believe God. If you want to go down the other road, go that way. I can't stop you. Nobody else can. But I believe God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe what the Word says. I believe God. God is my refuge. God is my strength. Use our authority in the name of Jesus. We've been given the authority. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. The name of Jesus, the name above all names. If it has a name, I can use the name of Jesus and it trumps. It's over. The name of Jesus is higher and over anything that has a name. All authority and all power is invested in the name of Jesus. And the Word of God says that that name has been given to me, a child of God, to use. I have been given the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus anytime, anywhere, against anything. Whoa, hallelujah. To stay safe, be led by the Spirit in your everyday affairs. Some people don't think about being led by the Spirit except if they're praying about making a decision of this. Hey, I pray about and listen to my Spirit every day. If you'll get up in the morning and say, all right, Holy Spirit, I don't know what I'm going to face today, but you do. So now you give me the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to face today and make the proper decision. Come on. Part of staying saved and can be avoided going to the, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, taking a different route home. I normally go the same way to go to my house when I leave the office over there. But there are some times that I say, I don't know. It's not, I didn't hear no voice. I didn't hear nothing. It just seemed like I have an impression, hey, go a different way. Many times we come in two cars because she may come ahead of me for an appointment, or I may come ahead of her because I'm teaching a class or got an appointment, and we'll have two cars. And so we left the office together. Oh, it's been several months back now. And she called me on my phone. She said, I don't know why, but I'm going to go this way to go home. I said, if you're going that way, I am too. Come on. You know, we've told you this story before, but I mean, she pulled out going down Kenosha toward the whatever that street is. I call it 145 because that's what it was when I first moved out here, and they changed the name. And what is it? Aspen. Okay. As she was approaching that signal light at Aspen, I mean, she was several 30, 40. 50 feet away, and it turned green. Well, normally you just keep your foot on and keep going, but something prompted her, slow down. So she slowed down, and just as she got in the intersection, a car come running the red light, going, I don't know how fast, right, just barely missed the nose of her car. If she would have kept the speed, it'd hit her right in the driver's door. See, that's what I'm talking about, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit that will keep you safe. Now, many times people will feel that urge to do something and they'll say, oh, that's just me. And they override it. I know a minister that was in three automobile accidents. He told my dad, had preached for him and talked to him about following. He said, Brother Hagin, if I'd have listened to my spirit, I'd have never been involved in any of those accidents. In fact, the last one almost killed him and his wife both. He said, every one of those accidents, something said, don't do that. Don't. But he said, I got to go. And he just overrode. Hey, I'm not talking about being weird. Now, some people get so weird, they won't even walk out the door. I'm talking about just listening to your spirit. In fact, if you read the Word of God, it says that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll tell you of things to come. Anybody ever read that in there? Well, he can tell you that there's danger and try to warn you, but if you don't listen, Hello. Another thing we have to do is resist fear. The voice translation of Hebrews 13:6, and I'm over time, but that's all right, isn't it? Because of this promise, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid of anything. How can anyone harm me? Being fearful will paralyze you from being able to think properly, to act properly, and make a proper decision. Then we got to boldly proclaim the word of God. Of course, I love this, 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith. That's Paul's quote. Paul's quoting what the psalmist said, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore we speak. Hey, this is not the time to have the spirit of fear and go into hiding. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. That's 2 Corinthians 1:7. It's time to rise up with the spirit of faith. Believe what God says. It's time to believers to speak boldly and declare with the spirit of faith. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's that blood that's the delivering power. Revelation 12:11 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of my testimony is what God says, and the blood is the blood that was applied to my heart when I accepted Jesus Christ. And I still love that old song that says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. I have the blood of Jesus. I have the word of God. I'm going to stand up and declare what God said. I'm going to believe what God said. And I'm going to live as safe as possible by doing what I need to do in the natural and by doing what the word of God tells me to do. Everybody that wants to do it with me, stand up and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we believe what the word says. And Father, as we face perilous times, you've told us this, but you've also told us that we can be safe if we'll believe you and stay close to you and do what your word says. And today we pledge to do that. And I thank you for safety in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of what I said today? I didn't know it was going to go like that when I started, but I guess I got a little bit of preach on this morning. I love it when it happens. That's the way I used to be when I was an evangelist. But the Lord started to change me more of a teacher, so I teach. But sometimes the Lord lets me get over in that flow, and I love that flow. Praise God.